When we deal with education, partly the whole reason we're talking about education is to explore spiritual topics. Mm-hmm. And this flows really well because that is, in a way, that's like the problem that Jesus was trying to address on earth you've got religious leaders, you've got this religious system, and there's like this idea, you follow all these rules, you do all the right steps, then everything's good.
Right.
And he is saying, no, this is not the way.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying about education, is we're trying to come up with a perfect system where we can just follow all the rules and then everything will be good. And I'm saying, no.
Welcome to The Sacred Life. I'm your host, Aaron Beachy, and today we will bring you another in our series on education. And with us today, we have John Baylor, David Baylor, and John, go ahead and introduce our subject today.
Okay, this will be probably our shortest education video so far.
Aaron.
partly it's gonna be a recap of some things that we've talked about before. I have sort of had this running theme that the problem in education is a lack of meaning. We are asking kids to do things and the kids don't understand why, and we don't really understand why either. And along with that lack of meaning, I've identified a lot of things that kind of all fit into the category of system. Ways that we're trying to build a perfect system or be devoted to the system instead of actually educating kids. And so a simple example of that is standardized tests, which I haven't talked about directly because it's just such easy pickings that I've left that alone. But I mean, basically everybody understands when we have kids taking standardized tests, we're trying to shove everything into a system, and then certain results will come out, and then we'll analyze those results, and then apparently we'll be able to reach some kind of paradisal state of education because we've been so true to the system. When we are devoting ourselves to the system, now maybe I should back up and say, from a teacher's perspective, teachers usually do not like standardized tests, and they don't like the way that standardized tests interfere with their ability to teach. So teachers are on the same page basically on that issue. But teachers still have their ways of looking for a system. And a teacher, now I myself, I like to lay out the progression, you know, like how one subject connects to the subject that we're going to get into next week, and how this is all going to develop over the course of the semester and over the course of the year. That's a project that I have maybe an unusual liking for. But even me, who really wants to come up with my own system, I mean, I still want it to be a system, but I want it to be mine, which I think is better than the alternative. But even somebody like me, I still feel this tug that makes me wish that I could find some ready-made system out there that I could find, okay, here's the perfect way to teach this class, and if you just follow all these instructions, then everybody in the class will learn from it and all of your administrators will be happy. So there's this desire, I wish I had a perfect system. Having a perfect system is ultimately not, it's just not going to get you the results that you want. Because there's a type of transformation that students go through when they're getting a good education and when they have a good teacher, that is not the result of a system. That, like, a system cannot bring somebody through this type of transformation. And so now we look at from a student's perspective. If you've gone through several years of school, and some things you've liked, most things you haven't liked, and you've been kind of bored by, but it hasn't been all bad, but you don't really care that much about the things that you're doing in school. But then one day, start of a new semester, you walk into whatever class it is, and you have this teacher who just seems to you to be different than the teachers you've had before. And for the rest of your life, and maybe you even have a feeling of this on day one, but for the rest of your life, you're going to look back on this teacher and you're going to say, this is what a great teacher is like. Mm-hmm. And what that teacher is good at, there's a handful of things. I think it's very important that that teacher probably really knows the subject matter. That teacher probably cares about the students and has a good rapport with them, good way of interacting with them. And maybe loves the students and wants the best for them. But I think also what that great teacher is going to have is going to be a love of the subject matter. And when you walk into that class, you feel like something is different because this guy really loves history, as an example. I think I've heard lots of people talk about the history teacher that really loved history. And when they saw that, then they picked up a love of history from that person. It's like you encounter a great teacher and he becomes a kind of a role model for you. And he's got lots of good traits, and there are different ways where you kind of start to pattern yourself after him. But one is that value that he has. If he loves history, then surely it's interesting. Surely it's valuable. Surely it's worth me digging into. And so I'm able to learn love and learn a value from seeing somebody who's really living it out. And what happens to that student is he came in not really caring about history, and by the end of the semester, he really loves history. And that's that important transformation, which is really the goal of education. And a system cannot produce that type of transformation. You can't get a kid to go through all the right steps, and then after they've completed those steps, they now love the thing that you wanted them to love. What it takes is seeing love in action, and now they can learn how to live it out. They've got to have someone that they can look at and say, this is what love looks like.
David, connect that to Christ and the church for us.
Right. So I guess the thought I had when you were saying that is how, in a lot of ways, that reflects the image of Christ. You could say it's a microcosm of Christianity. That, like, you have this problem stated in Hebrews. Like, Hebrews states it as if there is a fault with the first covenant, the old covenant. And so it was necessary to make a new covenant. And we get this idea that what defines the new covenant particularly is that it's an act of love, of God's love. Like John especially, like, really focuses in on that idea of love, love being the thing, and love typifying.
Well, I mean, Jesus does as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
He gives this, he boils down the old covenant and says basically love is at the heart of all this. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and all your mind.
Yeah, right. And so, like, that's very similar. And, like, you can compare with what you're saying. Like, you can make all the same points by going to 1 Corinthians 13.
I should say that he gives those in the other order, which is the way that I should have said them. That is the better order.
It is a proper order.
Yeah,
right. The important thing is that loving your neighbor is like loving the Lord.
So you could say there's a problem with the old covenant, or you could just say there's a problem with religious leaders. Now, this is what we always do when we have education topics.
Religious systems.
When we deal with education, partly the whole reason we're talking about education is to explore spiritual topics.
Mm-hmm.
And this flows really well because that is, in a way, that's like the problem that Jesus was trying to address on earth is you've got religious leaders, you've got this religious system, and there's like this idea, you follow all these rules, you do all the right steps, then everything's good.
Right.
And he is saying, no, this is not the way.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying about education, is we're trying to come up with a perfect system where we can just follow all the rules and then everything will be good. And I'm saying, no.
So there's something
not the way.
There's something, like, let's just really briefly touch on this instead of getting off on a rabbit trail on this, but there's something going on at the time of Christ that really points to that, is that at that point in history, the Jewish people knew that there was something wrong with their temple, because the presence of God had never come down when they rebuilt and rededicated the temple like it had when Solomon built his temple or when Moses consecrated the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everybody knew it was something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Pharisees were doing, their whole their whole viewpoint is, these guys, the rulers of the temple, they must be wrong. And the way that we're going to get God to come into our temple is by doing everything right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work for them.
Sounds a lot like the world we're living in today.
Yeah, like, and like, but also like the way we approach Christianity is like often the same way. It's like, I think there's some level at which we're all cognizant, we all recognize the fact that there's something wrong with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the approach a lot of us take is, oh, if we just get everything right, then the presence of God will come down.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're talking about education. It's like, we all know there's something wrong with the system.
Okay.
So,
yeah, so
if we just get it right, like if we build the Tower of Babel, we can make God come down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exact same thing.
I've said in a number of these videos that I think the problem in education is a problem of meaning, and because it's a problem of meaning, then the church is where the answer will come from.
Yeah.
But in the examples, the biblical examples you're talking about, we see like, well, the church can just get caught up in system and miss the heart of things.
Right.
Religious leaders can, but also Christian teachers or Christian school administrators or whatever can be guilty of the same things.
Right.
So I think a lot of Christian education winds up being, let's take the public school model and let's add a class about the Bible, and now we can call this Christian education.
Right.
Or
let's not teach the things that we think are against our religion.
Yeah, right. We're still like trying to come up with this perfect system. And I think that that's not what Christian education is.
Well, it's like you can understand it from the perspective of the teachers and the parents. You know, wanting something that gives them some kind of power. I guess before I go down that line, though, I wanted to go back to 1 Corinthians 13. I'd had the thought on that I tend to look at it like Paul's talking about, you know, you can have all these gifts, all the prophecy, all the knowledge, and all those things, but if you don't have love, it's just like a bunch of noise. That's basically how he phrases it.
Mm-hmm. And you put yourself in the students' shoes, and it's like, day after day in school, it's just a bunch of noise.
Right.
It's just a sounding brass.
And just a big clanging cymbal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but
this
then,
loud,
but then,
noise.
Then you enter that classroom where there is love,
right?
And again, I specifically mean that love of the subject matter,
right? Yeah,
but you enter that classroom, and now all of a sudden it matters. Wow, like it becomes something that's almost sacred, and
yeah.
It's not all that noise anymore.
Right, and I was going to bring out how we tend to think about, or at least I tend to think about that the love that Paul is talking about there is love for your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
which. That's not untrue, but I suspect he's talking about love in a broader sense than that. And you can back that up with, like, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible talks about, you know, loving beauty, loving truth, loving
mm-hmm.
all these good things. And then also, we already brought it out, you brought it out, what Jesus says about the two greatest commandments. He says that, you know, loving your neighbor is like loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. But he puts that one first,
mm-hmm.
because it is the first one. So like it's showing like, you know, loving God, that's the first love. So it's like there in Paul, you know, loving God or loving heaven, loving truth, loving the subject matter, if I can stretch the analogy that far,
mm-hmm.
is first. And then loving your student is like that.
Yeah. I mean, when I read the Bible and what the New Testament says about love, then I think so much of it just is very obviously about loving other people. And there's part of me that thinks that loving what you do is very important. And I do kind of feel like it's built in there, and I hope I'm not like just reading something into it, but I think there are people that love the things that you listed, truth and beauty, that a love of beauty has a transformative power on the people that are around you.
Right.
And like, if you love what is good, then the world gets to be a better place. And when it comes to like what does it mean to bring the kingdom of heaven into earth, then a big part of that is loving other people. But I was listening to the Messiah, listening to a recording of that recently, and I sung in it last year. When I hear that music, I don't know, of course I'm a musician and music is very important to me and a big part of the mission of my life. But I hear excellent music and I just think this is what it means to bring the kingdom of heaven into earth. Because like not just because it's good, because it's like it is overwhelmingly good. And the reason it's overwhelmingly good is because of musicians who are dedicated to being really good musicians, which is different than loving people. But I mean, it's not unrelated. But so for me, like all those commandments about love, that does mean loving other people. And it also means for the school teacher, love your subject matter, love what you do in your job. And if you love your job, it makes a difference, which is true. I mean, like if you work with people, then the fact that you love what you do for your job does make a big, big difference.
Yeah, right. It makes a huge.
If you're just there to do the work, then everybody knows that's why you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the teacher, all the kids in the class know that you're just there to get the job done. But if you love it,
right,
then it transforms.
And, or if you're like you say a you know, even like a preacher. If you're, you know, doing it because that's your job or that's your duty or you feel that's your calling, but there's not that sincere love for God and love for the people, then like, you know, what is all of your teaching, even if everything that you're saying is correct, doctrinally correct, factually correct, like you're not going to convey the proper message, the more important message,
right?
Because that message is love. And it can only be born by love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it kind of shows like what is the more important thing in Christianity? Is it to be right about everything? Like, well, it turns out no. And that's good. That's not the case. We'd all be without hope.
Yeah, it is. But also, like if the goal is to be right about everything, then everyone's going to leave the church and no one's going to come in.
Like, right. Well, that's the problem we deal with.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right. That's exactly what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But then, like, also, like, if you desire to be a teacher, if you are a teacher or a preacher, or, you know, in the Christian setting, in a secular school setting, whatever it might be, well, like, the thing, ultimately, that you have to say, the way that you make your ministry or your mission or your job effective is to image Christ, like put on that image of Christ, which is love.
Mm-hmm.
And like what occurs to me, like that's exactly what the Bible says, what Christianity traditionally says.
Yeah, I would do all things as unto the Lord.
Right. And like Jesus saying, like, you know, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about technology a little bit because technology is a kind of system as well. We've been at this for a while, so I think I want to cut that part off and maybe we could touch on it in a different talk sometime.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about talking about technology and idolatry, but I decided to let that slide.
Right. I guess just to reemphasize the points here, what I do want to make a comment that. When we talk about these education topics, we talk a little bit about education and we talk a little bit about spiritual matters. And the whole reason that we have these education topics actually is to apply spiritual matters to a real world context to understand them better.
Right.
So that really is the goal of why we're having these conversations. But it's also like, as I mentioned, I think a lot of Christians who want to get involved in education want to do the same thing that the public schools are doing, but you know, add something, some kind of ornament on top of it to make it look like it's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to understand what is an actual Christian education look like. And I think conversations like this are part of how you do that. Because I think you can see in this portrayal that we're trying to make of what the good teacher is, then you can see, yes, that is what a teacher who follows Christ is like.
Right. He's like Christ.
Right. Yeah. And like Christ in his domain, you know. So again, with this issue of love, and again, I think this teacher needs to be loving and caring about the students and hoping for the best for them. But his domain is teaching. And that means a lot of his love is going to be the love for teaching and the love for the subject matter that he's immersed in every day of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned his domain is teaching. And the thought comes to my mind of my a biology class I took in high school. I don't remember anything from my biology class because my teacher clearly did not love it. She, mm-hmm. she showed up every day to record the classes and that was it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to go real long on that, but
just a good negative example.
those teachers, man, I tell you. All right, anything else, guys?
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Can't blame me for making all this.
Yeah, I can't. yeah, I mean, just the center of it all is love.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we thank you for joining us again today on The Sacred Life, and please leave your comments, your questions down below. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your feedback, your thoughts on the subjects that we talk about. We appreciate you watching, and again, thank you for joining us, and we wish you peace in Christ.